timeless theme. Earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around, all the nations bow down to sing. Only sound is the praises to Christ our King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know the King, so there's no need to dread. No more night, no tears, never crying again, and praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, there's a mansion prepared for me, where I will live with my Savior eternally. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again, and praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. We will live in the light of the
looking forward to that day.
Amen.
Amen. What day? A day where there'll be no more night. That day is coming. That's what heaven is. It's just one unending day.
Amen.
There'll be no night there. The day never ends. Eternity. One unending day. While the ages roll, we'll be there with Him. I'm thankful that I'm saved and on my way to heaven.
Amen.
Salvation's a wonderful thing to enjoy.
Amen.
I know some folks that are enduring it. You know, they endure to the end.
Right.
But I'm enjoying mine.
Yeah.
I am. Now, I'm not saying that I live on the mountaintop every day. I'm not in any way implying that. But there's far more better times than they are worse.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Far more. You have your Bible to Numbers chapter number 16, and I want to talk to you a little bit about leadership, responsibilities, things that if we're going to continue to prosper and flourish as a church, we're going to have to learn God's way of doing things, or continue to follow God's way of doing things. Leadership can be a very problematic situation in church and homes and workplaces for a variety of different reasons. I've seen problems with leadership situations about on every level. There are those who are leaders and they won't lead, or they've been given leadership responsibilities and they just won't lead. They won't assume and accept the responsibility that's been laid on them to lead. And then there are those who have been given that responsibility who lord over God's heritage. They abuse that power, that position that God has given them. There are those who will not subject and submit themselves to leadership that's been placed over them. There's just a lot of areas where there can be problems when it comes to leadership and fellowship. And so we want to look at this section of the scripture. I've enjoyed my study of the book of Numbers. You may remember as we get into this 16th chapter, some of the things, and I wrote them down, and just by way of refreshing us and bringing us up to chapter number 16. In the first four chapters, we find where there's the counting of the people. Remember that? And then in chapter 5 and 6, there was the cleansing, celebrating in chapter 7 and 8. Chapter 7, we took a look at a man, and I did this on purpose I knew this time was coming, that we were going to get here to chapter 16. Remember, there were some Levites who were given wagons and oxen, but Kohath was given no wagons. We talked about how that sometimes God will call upon people to bear certain burdens, and doesn't mean God is unfair. It doesn't mean life is unfair. It just means that God has something special. The Kohathites were those that bore the furnishings of the tabernacle. And that man's name is mentioned here in chapter 16, and we'll get into that a little bit. I think it plays a big part in what happens here in chapter 16. But in chapter 7 and 8, there was the celebrating. Chapter 9, the Passover. Chapter 10, the blowing of the trumpets. We talked about that. Chapters 11 and 12, there were the bumps in the road. I want you to turn back there just for a moment in chapter number 11 of Numbers. The Bible begins in chapter number 11. It says, when the people complained, there was an area that the people got to. And if you'll look in verse number 3, it was Taberah. And that word means complain. They began to complain. Complaining is usually the first step down. You know, you can be going along in life and things can be kind of going pretty good. And then something happens and we have a decision to make. Am I going to accept this, or am I going and do something about it, or respond to it properly, or am I just going to complain about it? And, the children of Israel, we know what they did. And so there was this place, the bump in the road to bear. And then if you'll look over in chapter number 11, we talked about this one in verse number 34. Kibroth Hattaavah. Yeah, I know. That's a real place. And if you look in the latter part of verse number 34, it says, it's a place where they lusted. And that's what that word means. It's a place where they have gone a-lusting. Usually after complaining, the flesh gets such a grip on an individual that there's no restraint, there's no discipline in that life, and lusting begins to become a part of a complaining spirit. And that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. Within the children here, if you'll remember, we studied this, there was a mixed multitude who was adversely influencing them. And then if you'll look at verse number 35 of chapter number 11, the last word in that chapter is Hazeroth. And that word means criticizing. Chapter 12 is where the criticizing of Miriam and Aaron were against Moses for taking the Ethiopian wife. And that's a progression, all right? There's a complaining, which opens up for lusting and going astray and an undisciplined way of life, and that leads to criticizing. The children of Israel never really rebounded from this, all right? You remember we talked about after that in these following chapters where they came to Kadesh Barnea, and they were going to go over into the land. This is kind of where we left our study, and they sent some spies over into the land. They came back, and they said, we can't do this. Well, 10 of them did. Now, two of them Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this. Let's do this, right? Remember studying this? But 10 of them said, no, we can't do this. And so they pretty much just said, you know, God's weak and those people over there are strong and we can't do this. And so that's kind of where we come to here. And so you get to chapter number 16 and you have this group of people led by a man. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 16. Now Korah. Now Korah is spoken of in the New Testament, in particular in the book of Jude. And the Bible speaks about the gainsaying of Korah. I want to take another direction on this, all right? But I do want to give you this, and then we're going to kind of look at some lessons that can be learned from this. Now, here's why. Had I really thought in my heart, and if I believed in my heart, that I was preaching to a bunch of rebels, people who said, you know, Pastor Freeman, we want you gone. We don't want you here. We're rebelling against your leadership, and we do not want to follow your leadership. We don't want to follow the assistant pastors, the deacons. We don't want to follow any leadership at the church. We're rebelling against our family leadership. We're rebelling against our work leadership. I just don't feel that that's the group of people that I'm preaching to. However, that doesn't mean that it can't happen to us. All right, so I want you to understand that. Just because we're not there doesn't mean that we couldn't end up there. So you have to always have your guard up, right? You always have to remember that God's Word has some things to say about this kind of thing. And so for that cause, I feel definitely impressed to speak to you about Korah. And if you'll notice, the Scripture gives us some names here, Korah. And then it says Abiram and Dathan, the sons of Eliab, and then there's On. All right, so you have these men. And if you'll look, you have these men, and they were leaders. They were influential men. Verse number 2 says that they were famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they get about 250 men, and they go to Moses and Aaron. They gather themselves, verse number 3. You follow it? Verse number 3 says, and I want you to highlight this or put it in parentheses. Watch what they say. It's very important. Now, the Holy Spirit is very careful to record the exact words that are used here, and I find that very interesting because there's a play on words that goes back and forth in this conversation. Now, Moses was a very humble man. The Bible says that he was the meekest man on the earth. He's a very meek man, Moses. He was a very humble man, and oftentimes, as we shall see in our study tonight, Moses would fall on his face before the Lord, and he would ask God not to consume those people who were murmuring and complaining, not only against God, but against him and Aaron, the God-appointed leadership of the children of Israel. And yet, the Bible says that when these people came against Moses and Aaron, notice what they said right there in the middle of verse number 3. They got upset and they said, listen, there's a couple of things that we don't like, and we're going to mention them to you. Now, I want to teach you something about people who resist leadership. So I want you to listen very carefully to me, all right? You'll learn something. Not because I'm teaching it, but because the Word of God teaches it, okay? When there are people who resist leadership, when people resist God-appointed authority, there's always two purposes, okay? There's the stated purpose, which they'll tell you, and then there's the hidden purpose, which really involves their agenda that they will not tell you. So I want you to understand that. Did you get what I just said? When people are rebelling, now I'm not saying when people are asking or people who are challenging, but when people are rebelling against God-ordained leadership, there's always the stated purpose and then there's the hidden purpose. And that's exactly what happens here. I'm going to show you from the Scripture. And you can always count on this. Listen, you can go back in all the Scripture with Absalom and David. I mean, it could go on. Nadab and Abihu. Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, it's listen, the protocol, it never changes. Because there's always the stated purpose, which they want you to believe is the real reason, but there's always a hidden purpose for a personal agenda when people rebel against leadership. Now here's what happened. The Bible says that they went in verse number 3, and they said unto Moses and Aaron, ye take too much upon you. You see that? I want you to highlight that. Because we're going to see that again. All right? Ye take too much upon you. Now, this could be reworded or paraphrased. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? What, you think you're running this show? You too much, take too much upon you. Now, here's the stated reasons, not the hidden. Here's some things that they mentioned. First of all, they said, seeing all the congregation are holy. In other words, you know, when it comes to the priesthood, and that's what this is about, okay? These were from, the Korah was from the tribe of Levi. Now, so was Aaron. And God had chosen Aaron to be the high priest of the children of Israel. And Korah said, well, you know what? We all can go before God. We all can be, notice what he said. Every, in the middle part, he said, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Well, you know what? In a sense, that's true. Let me bring that to our day right here. If I were to come to you and I would say, listen, don't you pray. If you want to get anything through to God, you've got to come to me. I hope you would not accept that. Amen. We believe as Baptists in individual soul liberty. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. Now listen to me. That means that when you got saved, you have direct access into the Holy of Holies, into the throne room of God, and you, through one mediator, Jesus Christ, you alone now, not you and the preacher, not you and Mary. Now listen to me. Not you and some priest or some pope. You and Jesus can go right before the throne of grace. Amen. Amen. And let your petition be made known. Amen. And so in a way, what Korah is saying here is so, especially when we begin to look at it in New Testament terms. All right? But just because something is so doesn't mean that it nullifies another one of God's commandments or another one of God's structural truths like this. Yes, we can go before the Lord. Yes, you can go before God in the name of Jesus. You can. And you can let your request be made known. But that doesn't nullify the fact that God has divine appointed leadership in our lives. That doesn't mean, young man, that you don't seek the counsel of your father. Amen. Young lady, of your father, your mother. That doesn't mean when you're on the job that you don't have to go through your foreman, your supervisor. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, you're also an employee. And if you want to be a Christian employee, follow the God-appointed leadership that God has put over you at that workplace. Right. Amen. Yeah, right. Now listen, we're losing this in our society. Right. We're losing this. Why? I believe one reason it's not being taught. Right. It's not being taught. Young people, listen, this is important. It's important for all of us, but you've got your whole life ahead of you. If you want to be successful in life, you need to listen to God's ordained appointed leadership in life and follow it. In school, I'm a Christian. I have individual soul liberty. I'm a priest. I have the priesthood of Christ. And I don't have to do what the teacher says. Oh, yes, you do. Amen. So this goes outside the church. All right, now within the church, you have your pastors. You have your deacons. You have your department heads. Amen. And when you come up under their authority, you have a responsibility to follow their leadership. A responsibility, a God-ordained responsibility. It's God's way. We have churches, we have businesses, we have schools, we have homes where it's just mass chaos because there's no structural leadership. And when there's no structural leadership, it is absolute chaos. And so here comes Korah. And Korah makes a good statement. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with it except for the hidden part. There is a hidden part, and we'll get to it in a moment. So he says, you know what? You take too much upon yourselves. In the middle of verse number 3, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Then watch this. Here's the second thing he said he had a problem with. He said in verse number 3, he said, wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? Well, there is either one of two things here, and I don't know which it is, okay? There's either a gross misunderstanding of what God did with Aaron and Moses, or it's just clear, willful ignorance and a lie that this man has made himself believe or wants to believe so that he could come against publicly against the leaders that God had appointed. Can I tell you that Moses and Aaron didn't go before the children of Israel and said, hey guys, listen up, settle down, we're going to lead you. You've been in here in Egypt's land, you've been suffering under the taskmasters, but me and old Aaron here, we're going to get you out. So saddle up and follow us out of here. That's not the way it happened. If you'll read Exodus chapter number 3, you'll find where God appeared in a bush that burned but that was not consumed. And Moses said, you know, I think I'm going to go aside and see what's going on over here. And God spoke to Moses and he said, I have seen the affliction of my people. And I want you to go. And I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. God put Moses and Aaron in that position. They didn't lift themselves up. They didn't join up. They didn't say, well, you know, we're going to do this. Everybody else get back and sit down. We've got this. That's not the way it happened. So Korah was either ill-advised or willfully ignorant. I don't know which, but either way, he was wrong in his assessment of why Moses and Aaron were in leadership. And so we need to be very, very aware of what happened here. Now, what's the hidden part? Well, before we get into that, let's see what happened after he made that accusation. He said, there, and I call this part the confrontation, and it is a confrontation. All right? So, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, On, and these 250 princes say, you know what? You take too much upon yourselves. We don't like it. And we want to do something about it. Well, the Bible says in verse number 4, I like Moses' response. When Moses heard it, he fell on his face. You know, Moses did that quite a bit. He did. Moses was a humble man. And Moses just wanted to do God's will. And the Bible says in verse number 5 that he spake unto Korah and to his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show us who are his and who is holy and who and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. He said, I tell you what, this do. And I'm not going to go into all this, but he said, I want you to get some censers. And that's these little vessels that you put coals of fire in. And he said, I want you to get some censers, every one of you, and we're going to find out. We're going to find out who God's appointed over this. And then he made this statement. Look at the latter part of verse number 7. The latter part of verse number 7, he said, ye take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. So the sons of Levi, Korah and Dathan, right? So here they are, and they come to Moses and Aaron, and they say, ye take too much upon you. And Moses said, no, ye take too much upon you. You see what's happening here? All right? You see what's going on? So now we got confrontation. All right, we've had an accusation, and then here's someone answering that challenge and saying, "Hey, listen, I haven't taken too much upon me. It's you. You're out of line. You're out of line. And here's what I want you to do." And Moses lays out some things for him in verse number 8. He said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi." Highlight this next phrase right here. You see it in verse number 9? Look at it. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself and to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord? Now don't you miss this. This is vital. This happens in a lot of churches. It can happen here. It has on small scale and it can get big, but we have to be careful. We get to control this. So please don't miss this. Moses told in verse number 8, Korah and the sons of Levi that were challenging his leadership, he said, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. Okay? Look at it. Your problem is that it's but a small thing to you that God's using you, but you don't like the capacity in which he's using you, and you need to wait on God. Now listen to me. You say, preacher, can that happen here? Absolutely. Absolutely. Someone could say, well, you know what? I don't think David Thompson, I just don't think that he's got this thing of missions down, and I believe I could do a better job than him. Well, God's got him in that place. You leave him alone. Amen. Well, I'll tell you right now, I just think Brother Benny and Brother Tracy and Sister Angela handling the finances, I just believe I could do a better job. Well, God's got them in that place. You leave that alone. You pray for them. If you've got anything you could do to help either one of these men, me as the pastor, our assistant pastors, our department head leaders, come to us and help us out. Now listen, we don't have that problem here, but I'm telling you, that's the way you've got to handle it. All right? Because if you don't, there will be a lot of contention. So Moses called him out. He said, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. All right? Your problem is you need to get concerned about your ministry and leave my ministry alone. Amen. Yeah. You know whose ministry you can do the best? Someone else's. Somebody say amen with me now. Well, it's amazing how we can see how everybody else's ministry needs some improvement. But when somebody comes to us and says, hey, have you thought about improving the ministry that you're over? We're ready to fight them. How dare you? Who do you think you are? Right? Now, I'm for, and actually, we started doing this in our staff meetings, and I think the church ought to know this. In our staff meetings, we're looking at each ministry, how we can improve, ways that we can maybe grow the ministry and improve the ministry. But we're doing it out of love. We're not going behind people's back and with an undercurrent trying to tear them down and ridicule what they're doing. That's what's going on here. And Moses said, you know what? He said, the problem here is it seems but a small thing to you. Look at verse number 9. It seems but a small thing unto you that God, the God of Israel, has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near unto himself. Watch this now. To do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord. God gave you a ministry, Korah. Listen to me. God gave you a ministry. Do it. And when God gets ready to move you, he'll move you. But until he does, focus on the ministry that God gave you. Can I tell you that churches would be in a lot better shape if every person would just take their God-appointed, God-ordained talents and use in the ministry that God's given them. Everybody needs to say amen right there. There are churches that are bickering and fighting and splitting, and it's terrible. Why? Well, because of that hidden agenda that we're going to go back to here in just a moment. But I want you to notice what Korah and his friends do. They say, well, you know, we're not going to let that man tell us what to do. Now, here's what happens. You see what happened here? The people came to Moses and they said, you take too much upon yourself. And then Moses answered back and said, no. You take too much upon yourself. And Moses said, I think you're counting it a small thing that God's called you to do something, and you need to stay focused on what you're doing. And he said, by the way, come on up here and let's talk about this. And you can read this now. Look at it. Look in verse number 12. And Moses sent and called Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and said, we will not come up. So he said, hey, we need to meet and talk about this and get this settled. They said, we're not going to talk to you. Now watch what happened here. Look at verse 13. The way that verse look familiar to you? Chapter 13. They're mocking Moses. Moses has said in verse number 9, it seemeth but a small thing unto you that God give you a ministry. You need to stay focused on that. And when Moses said, hey, look, come on up, we need to talk about this. They said in verse number 13, it is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. You want to talk about small things, Moses? You want to talk about people taking it for granted and staying focused? How about you staying focused on what God called you to do to take us to a land flowing milk and honey? Hey, that's serious stuff right there. Amen? That's serious. See, now this thing is escalated because some people couldn't take some good counsel and some good corrective instruction and say, hey, come, let's sit down and let's talk about this. They said, no, we're not coming to talk to you. Now, I want you to notice what they did, how they twist up. Did you catch it? Look, if you would, in verse number 13. Where did Moses bring them out of? It was not where they said. Look how they referred to Egypt. Verse number 13. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey. We got some confused people here. Amen. We have some very confused people. As a matter of fact, notice how they referred over in verse number 14. They said, moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that floweth with milk and honey. The place we came from was a land that floweth with milk and honey, and you said you were going to take us to that place, but no, you brought us out here to kill us and the Lord over us, and the place that you've taken us to in verse number 14 is not a place that floweth with milk and honey. Are given us inheritance of fields and vineyards, wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Can I say something here? God's people sometimes can be downright nasty. I wish y'all could see what I see. I see people with halos. Everybody's sitting there saying, well, I tell you right now, them old sorry rascals. Sometimes when we're called out, our flesh kicks in and we don't like it. And if we're not careful, we'll say or do some things that's going to be very hurtful. And we need to be very careful. God takes these things seriously. We may not take them as serious as God takes them. I'm afraid that we don't. But Moses said, listen, we need to talk about this. And they said, no, we're not going to talk about this. We're not going to talk about this. You tell us to take care of what we take care of. You take care of what you take care of. That's a terrible attitude. Isn't it? It's terrible. Where do you go from here? Well, Moses felt like he had nowhere else to go. The Bible says in verse number 15, and before you get too upset with Moses, consider some things now. Look at verse 15. And Moses was very wroth. Now, we're talking about the meekest man, okay? But even meek men can get very wroth when they're challenged and they're pushed to the precipice. And that's what happened here, all right? Now, I'm not going to go into all this because I want to give you some life lessons here. But I want you to read this sometime. So, essentially what happened here, and I'll just give you, the overview, but I want you to go home and read it. Moses said, I tell you what. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to find out. You know, you say you're the priest and that you shouldn't need to be running the show. Let's find out. Let's ask God. So, in verse number 19, I want you to notice something. Korah, in verse number 19 of chapter number 16, gathered all the congregation against them to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Bible says, the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Now, when you see that phrase in the Old Testament, that means that God's getting ready to render judgment. All right? And so, here it comes. So Moses said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to find out. And Moses made this statement. Later on in this chapter, he said, I tell you what, if these men die, common death, then I'm wrong. And I've taken too much on me. And he says this to the whole congregation. He said, but if God does a special thing, like what, Moses? Oh, I don't know, let's see. Like opening up the earth and swallowing these people alive into it, then that shows that God did appoint me and Aaron And they were wrong and to get out of bounds in challenging the leadership that God put over them. You know what happened? The Bible says in verse number 29, you can read where it says, these men died the common death. That's what I was reading to you. Moses said that. He said, then the Lord hath not sent me. The latter part of verse number 29, you see it there? He said, but if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallow them up, and all that appertaineth to them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, watch this now. I mean, Moses just got through speaking. Probably the sound of his voice was still reverberating. And the Bible says here in verse number 31, it came to pass, as he had made an end of his speaking, all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods. And then fire came out and consumed the people that were around them, 250. Now, am I glad that happened? Well, not really. I mean, I'm not. God knows what he's doing. God knows why he does it. Now, why does God choose sometimes to act immediately on people like Ananias and Sapphira? And there's others in the scripture, Nadab and Abihu. I mean, he just acts immediately, and then sometimes he will not. I don't know. Who knows the mind of God? I don't know. He did here, okay? But he doesn't in other places. But I will say this. You be careful. You never know when he's going to do it. Amen. Amen. But now I will say this, God always judges sin. It may be now, maybe later, but your sin will find you out. You cannot sin and get by. Okay? Life lessons, you ready for them? So, let's learn a lesson here. So, here we are. We're in this congregation of people, and we see somebody do something wrong. And this is terrible what these people did. I just believe that people ought to come up under the authority that God's placed them under. And I do the same. Everybody has an authority that's over them. You do realize that, right? Everyone. We all have authority figures that God ordains in our lives, and we need to learn what it is to come under. By the way, parents, if you're not willing to come under the authority that God's placed over your life, don't expect your children to come under your authority. They're going to snicker behind your back and kind of giggle when you mention to them how important it is and how wrong it is for them to go against your authority. They're thinking, well, you don't obey the authority that's over you. Right? Practice what you preach. Now, they may not say that to your face now, but they are thinking it. So be careful. And that's for all of us, all right? So, what's a good lesson here? Well, when we're taught something this clear, I mean, it's vividly clear, we need to learn from this. What do I need to learn from this? I need to learn that God has a place for me. I need to work within this place, and I need to just work with the boundaries that God's given me, with the authority that God's given me. I don't have to apologize for that authority. I need to exercise that authority, but I need to exercise it with compassion and grace, and I need to do it as God's led me, and I need to lead the people as God would have me lead. And you need to do the same in the authority that God's placed you, whether that be in your home, whether it be in this church, whether it be at work, wherever God has given you authority, exercise it, but do so with compassion and do so with grace. That's what I learned from this. I also learned that when people challenge authority, it's probably best to let God deal with it. Because I doubt you can dig a hole big enough to get all of them in it, like he did. Amen. God will take care of it. You let God take care of that. Amen. All right? So don't be rolling up your sleeves wanting to fight everybody that resists your leadership. Now, I do realize there's times that we have to deal with it, but you pray about it, and God will show you how to deal with it. Did they learn? What would you have done? You're standing by your tent door. If you'll read this, you'll find that's what they're doing. And Moses goes out, and he says, hey, folks, this is what's getting ready to happen. These folks over here are questioning our authority, and we put this thing before God. And I advise you to get away from them, because God's getting ready to rain down some judgment here today. And so get away from them so you won't go down with them. The Bible says they did. You read it. And then God opened up the earth and swallowed them up. And you would have thought in a collective gasp of people went away, oh my, I'll never defy authority again. I'll never doubt God's man again. I'll never speak against God's man again. I've seen what God did. Well, let's see. Verse 41. You there? But on the morrow, got about a 24-hour, if that long, period has passed. On the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of the Lord." That's almost comical. Except, we kind of do the same thing. I tell you, it's so much more funny when we can laugh at the children of Israel for doing it, but when we begin to think, you know what, I do stuff just like this. God shows me so clearly things that I need to be doing, and I may do it for a day, if that, and then I won't do it. God will show me some stuff, and if I'm not careful, I'll veer from it, and I'll be just like this. Just like this. I won't learn my lesson. I won't learn my lesson. Now, I'm not excusing that. I'm just saying that what these people did. So look at verse number 42. Remember what I said when the cloudy pillar? Verse number 42, it says, "It came to pass when the congregation were gathered against Moses and against Aaron that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation." Uh-oh. "And behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared." God's getting ready to judge again. Amen. God sent a plague. And the Bible says that when God sent this plague, if you look down, let me see, in verse number 49, 14,700 people died. So here's life lesson number two. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. You may influence a lot more people than you realize. The Bible starts out here in chapter number 16 with one man's name, Korah. Now Korah. And he went out and he got in three more men, Dathan, Abiram, and On. Now he got four men. But they got him 250 more men. Well, they all died. And then the people seen that and they begin to murmur and say, "Look what you've done to these people." And now they're all murmuring. Now 14,700 died. But it all started with one man. So here's a lesson that I need to learn from this. You be careful. You may be influencing more people than you realize. And if I'm going to influence people, I want to influence them positively and not adversely. And I believe you do too. So we have to be cautious. There's people watching. There's people listening. And they're learning from us whether we realize it or not. And so here's something that we need to learn from this section of Scripture. Sin spreads so rampantly. And you might say something to somebody over here, and then it gets over here, By the time it gets over here, it's not even true, and it has slandered somebody to the place to where it could be irreparable. And you could go back and say you're sorry, but their character's already been drugged through the mud. Amen. The damage is done. Right? And so here was a man who thought, well, you know what? I've got this hidden agenda. What is it? What causes people to do stuff like this? You say, well, it's sin, preacher. Sure, it's sin. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Exodus. And I found this when I was just doing some research and running some scripture. And I just feel sure that this has something to do with it. I've seen it. I've been in ministry for a long time. And I've been on both ends of it. I have. I've been on both ends of what it's like to be left out and what it's like to be dealing with people who were left out. All right? There's something that happens in a person's life when they feel like they deserve that position and they didn't get chosen. There's something that happens when they feel like, you know what, I could do it better than him, but yet he's the one who got chosen. Why did he get chosen and not me? I could do it better than him. That's what happened here. I'm just sure of it. In Exodus chapter 6, are you there? I want you to look in Exodus chapter 6. In verse number 20, the Bible says that Amram took him Jochebed. You there? Exodus 6, verse 20. Amram took Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife. And she bare him Aaron and Moses. All right? And you go on down and you start reading about this lineage of people. And then all of a sudden, you're just kind of reading along. And you're thinking, okay, that's nice. And you got this family. And then you get down to verse number 24, and it says, the sons of who? Korah. Same family, same tribe, tribe of Levi, same family. And so Korah thinks, well, you know what? Oh, cousin Aaron, I'm not sure he really deserved that. The Bible says jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Well, you get somebody that gets a position that you wanted or that gets a little attention that you want, and before long, you become jealous and envious. And it's hard for you to rejoice when God blesses their life. And it's hard for you to say, you know what? I need to submit myself to that person's leadership. It's kind of like be serving under you, little brother. You've taught him all of his life. You've led him along. Now all of a sudden he's above you. Now he's telling you what to do. It's kind of like on the job, right? You trained a guy, and now they put him in your position. What are you going to do? Go to work and say, man, I'm so glad you got that position. And the raise that came with it. Amen? Amen. You say, well, preacher, I wouldn't do that. Well, I don't know. I hope you wouldn't. I hope I wouldn't. But I'm going to tell you, some things in life are hard to swallow. So why did Korah, why was he so bent on tearing down Moses and Aaron? I think Exodus 6 tells us why. He's in the same family. Here he has. He's been given a little job. By the way, remember, as we go back to Numbers 16, remember what family it came from? Look in chapter number 16, verse number 1. Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of who? Kohath. He didn't get no wagons. He's already felt like he's been left out, right? Remember when we studied that? He didn't get any wagons and oxen. He's already felt like he got the short end of the stick. And now here he is having to serve under his cousins or his family that he feels like, you know what? I have just as much right. I'm in the same tribe. I have just as much talent and right as them. Brethren, there's something I've learned, and I'll say this, and I'll give you one lesson more, and I'll be through. First of all, 100% sure that this scripture is teaching that we need to obey the God-appointed, God-divine authority that's been put in our life. The Bible teaches that in New Testament, Romans 13. Everybody say amen. Amen. This is important. It's important. God cannot bless and will not bless revelry. God will not bless rebels. People who just reckless abandon and I'm not going to submit myself to authority. God won't bless you. He's not going to bless you. You're going to have chaos in your family, in your home. You're going to have chaos in your life if you do not bring yourself under the God-appointed authority that He's placed in your life. That's the place where God will bless you. All right? So you come to this chapter and you see where here's Kohath. He feels like he's been dealt a bad hand, and now he feels like his family's above him, and he's got something that he should have. I've learned something in ministry. Grow where God plants you. Grow where God plants you. And I'm serious when I say this. You say, well, you're the pastor. I served as an assistant pastor for 6 years and enjoyed every bit of it. I was okay with it. I knew God wasn't through with me as being a pastor. But I was there to help in that ministry, and I wanted to help in that ministry. I was given some duties. I wanted to carry out those duties. That's where God had me. Now this is where God's got me. I don't know where God's going to take me from here. I hope it's to heaven. I'm serious when I say that. But you don't know what God has for you. Corey, as I look out at you and Lauren, I'm serious when I say this. Just grow where God's planted you. God's got something for you. I don't know what it is, but God's going to use you. Just grow where God's planted you, and I'll tell you, I am 100% sure of this. God's going to open the door, and God's going to thrust you in ministry somewhere, somehow, some way, someday. Just sure of it. He'll do that for every person sitting on the sound of my voice. It may be in the ministries of this local church. It may be in the ministry of another church. He may send you out to start and plant a church. God may send you to the mission field. But God's not going to do that if you do not learn how to function, operate, and be obedient to the authority that He's appointed in your life right now. So grow where God's planted you. All right? If God's got you planted here, grow. And when you grow out of where God has you here, He'll move you on. He'll put you somewhere else. I'm just sure of it. So get that part. Final thing. As I look at these scriptures, something really bothered me. And it always happens, brethren. It always happens. Notice, if you would, in verse number 27 of Numbers chapter 16. The Bible says that they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents. Watch this next phrase. And their wives and their sons and their little children. You know, I wasn't in ministry very long before God made it very real in my heart something that I needed to learn as a life lesson. You're not in this alone, son. You've got a wife, and then as children came along, you've got a family. And you're responsible to your wife and your children. Act like it. Amen. I mean, God spoke to me in a very definite way and in a very clear way. This is not about you. This is about y'all. You say God speaks Southern? Yeah. Men, you've got a responsibility to your wife and your children. These men shirked their responsibility, and it cost them. Now, as I read this scripture, I read where Dathan and Abiram, you see that in verse number 27? But if you'll turn over to Numbers chapter 26, you'll find where God done something very gracious. Because there may be someone sitting here tonight, and I've seen it over and over again, okay? I didn't start doing this last week. I've been a pastor for over 30 years. I have seen children almost have to step over their backslidden, cold-hearted, carnal-minded parents to serve Jesus. And I've wanted to shake those parents and say, hey, wake up. Your children are watching you. And you're setting a terrible example before them. And don't you think you can turn it on and turn it off? Once you put Egypt in their heart, you may never get it out. Abraham took Lot to Egypt, and though they came out of Egypt, Egypt never came out of Lot. And it cost him, and it cost his family. And we read this morning in the scripture how he vexed his righteous soul with their unlawful deeds. Here in chapter number 26 of the book of Numbers, you'll read as God is rehearsing how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together. You see that in Numbers 26, verse 10? The Bible says that that company died what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. Thank God for His grace. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. God had mercy. When you get home tonight, I want to challenge you to do something. Go home and turn to Psalm 84 and read right under the heading there, under Psalm 84, and it talks about the sons of Korah. Amen. God used them. God used them. I can only wonder what those children had to tell, the sons of Korah. Yeah, my dad was the one who led the rebellion against God's leadership. What a terrible thing that would be to have in your remembrance. What a terrible thing it would have to have. Yeah, my dad was the one that never would serve Jesus. My dad, my mom, my parents were the ones who played church and just went through the motions, but nothing was ever real to them. They came home and run down the preacher. They ran down the church. They put on a show, and it was never real to them. And I felt like quitting, but I'm glad that God had grace and kept using me. Amen? So be careful. Be careful. So here's some life lessons. And I think we all need to learn some things from them. All right? Where are you with divine appointed leadership? You following it? You following the leadership that God's put in your life? Now, God is gracious. I think we'll all agree to that. But God will break you now. God will break you. You understand that? Korah's children got out, but Korah didn't. All right? So we need to take this as very solemn. I'm going to do what I want to do. Nobody going to tell me what to do. Yeah, there's always going to be somebody telling you what to do. Always. You say, no, they're not either. You call me tomorrow about 4 o'clock and let me know how many people's told you what to do. Okay? I'll sleep in as long as I want. I don't think so. You say, you think my foreman will call me? No, I think your wife will hit you over the head and tell you to get up about 8 o'clock. Let's all stand. No woman going to let a man sleep past 7. Say amen right there. God ordained and appointed leadership is very important. Are you following it? Are you following it? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in our government. It's in our schools. It's in our learning institutions. It's in our homes. It's in our workplaces. It's in our churches. You've got to learn how to bring yourself under authority. God will bless that. And people will see it in your life and they'll respect you for it. They will. Let's bow our heads together.